Remember in our study of the Gospel of John that the Jewish leadership in particular would not receive the witnesses of by way of our Lord Jesus Christ of who he was. Heavenly, holy, happy witnesses, God the Father himself. And they would not receive. They would not believe. And thus the Lord in his rebuke said, John 5:37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." And we shared together that God said, "You have no knowledge of God. You are ignorant of the scriptures. You are ignorant of the power of God." And so, as we shared together, we looked at the shape, how God, you have never seen his shape, his form, his external appearance. And we took time just to consider that, because we're looking at a subject that demands some help. And we're going to do it again, and maybe again one more time. How do we understand an invisible God? How do we handle invisible God? So we're going to do that, so you can run with it. Now, in the light of that, no man has seen his shape or heard his voice at any time. And so, again, if we may, go and an understanding of God. We are not, as the religions of the world, talking to a Buddha or an Allah who we have no knowledge of anything about. We know nothing about them because they aren't existent. But God, the only God and the only Savior, is. And that he makes wonderfully, wonderfully simple for us. That which is exceedingly profound of who he is. So that we can have a healthy and happy and holy fear of God. Reverence for him. So now, in the light of that, would you go with me, please, to Psalm 113? And we're going to go and look down at God has given us his word. And we're going to let God help us. In Psalm 113, God is out there and yet he's right here. God is really, really, really God. And he is known and he is to be unknowable. And he is known and knowable without debate. Psalm 113, picking up, please, the great hymns of praise. Going, if I may, to verse 4 directly. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who, God, humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. And so God, looking down into the great heavens and the earth, he lowers himself, as it were, to accommodate us to be involved. Must be pretty big. Now, hang on. Over, if you would please, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is going to tell us again. Jeremiah chapter 23. Remember, God is omnia, O-M-N-I, omnia. That means all or every. And then you put that in front of presence, all, ever present. You put it in front of power, omnipotent, all and all powerful. You put it in front of knowledge, person, presence, power. And all, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient. and thus omnipotent. And now, thus, here we are. God, you are all right? You're going to have to help us, God, because we need help. We aren't going to get this, and we're going to be left out. And what was the problem with the Jewish leadership? They had lost the wonderful sense of God. They lost that. And they were struggling along without him. They were trying to claim him without knowing him. That's no good. You need to know him. Now, Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And you'll recall, in the prophets going out and the prophets that stand before God and the prophets that don't stand before God. Verse 22, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. In other words, if they truly were from God, if it was truly from God, you would have got a message, you would have been convicted, and you would have said, hey, I think we need to fix some things. Verse 23, if you look, the Israel is looking at the gods of Baal and all of them out there, looking at the gods out there, looking at the gods, and the gods are local. The gods are local. You can reach out, touch them. You made them. There they are, and they're localized. And those are idols, gods, all kinds of religious idols, etc., that we can touch and see and put in front of us or something. Those are local. And people, religions, pray to those local gods. But the local gods aren't involved in other places. They're local. Babylon has its gods. Syria has its gods. The Philistines have their gods. Everyone has their gods as in that day. And there they are. And so the little, when you pray to pray, it's the local gods. Now, God, what are you going to do to help the Israelites are looking back here in Jeremiah? They're looking to hear from the prophet and priest of that things aren't going to be so bad. We can leave God out of the picture and it will be all right. Why do we have to include God? Why can't we just plug along and work things out and have them come out good? Chapter 23, verse 23, God answers, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Am I a God that's just down the street? You put a little idol out there, and am I that kind of God? Am I that kind of God that I'm out there? God said, I am not localized. I am not local. I am omniscient. I'm omnipresent. Omnipotent. I'm not localized. You have all your things and they're all local. We go to the local council, we go to the local government, and we go to the UN with the governments and then all the ones that aren't represented. And we go to them and we're looking. They're all localized. But God, you aren't. No. No, I'm not. Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Am I not all places at all times? There is no limitation to my personal presence. I am always present. I don't spread out. I don't spread out like this. I don't do that. I am. I don't expand. I don't have to go and reach out. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that at all. I don't grow and I don't reach out. I don't get bigger. I don't get bigger. I'm not growing. I'm not getting smaller. I'm not getting bigger. No, not at all. Not at all. I don't multiply. I'm not multiplying. I'm not dividing. No. My whole person is all at once in every place at all times, filling all of forever, filling all of the universes forever. I am who I am. God, my God's infinity, His endlessness, His beyond limits, beyond measure. I am, when it comes to infinity, in relationship to space. Space, space. Everything has space, space. I don't have space. We think of everything space between everything. Between sun, moon, stars, persons, places, pews, space. God doesn't have space. There is no space to God. There isn't any. There is no void where He isn't. He's everywhere. Everywhere. God, you aren't like us at all. No, I'm not. God's wonderful immensity, unmeasurable, limitless, infinite. His nature, His essence, His being, His eternal foreverness. The earth and stars are bounded by space. Persons live in space. I had a thing to show you, for good or bad, of all my different things down here. And in the process, is in space. You're in space. You measure yourself by distance between. Angels, humans, are limited. Head, toes. Angels are limited. God is not. Angels, here they are. They have space. Humans have space. They have space. God has no space. No space at all. None. So God, in the light of that, the limitations of space, and the word space has no reference to Him. No reference to Him at all. So, in the process of that, over to 1 Kings chapter 8. So we're just trying to get what have people discovered about you? What do they know? What should Israel have known? What is the problem? Well, when you lose the presence of God, then you're trying to go and implement promise, help, and you don't understand, where is the help? How close is help? How close is hope? Say, well, if you don't understand God's presence, then you don't have immediate help. You're going to hope that the help has to come from somewhere, has to be sent to us, has to come to us. But if I get it, Israel, he rebuked them. You have no knowledge of God. And they should have. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, M-U-S-T, that means must believe that he what? He is. I-S. He is. Four little letters. He is. Start with that. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Start with God. But if you don't, then you don't. Then you're stuck trying to get the Bible, trying to get everything, history. And the rest of the world leaves God out, so you don't understand and don't learn. 1 Kings chapter 8 and in verse 27. Listen to Solomon in his great prayer in the dedication of the temple. Picking up, if I may, directly in verse 26. And now, O Lord, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But in doing it, God, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house, the temple, which I have builded. God, the heaven and the heavens. We read it in Psalm 113. He humbled himself to be involved. Now, so having said that, over if you would please, and you remember, on your way, on your, well, why not? See it. Isaiah 66, on your way to the New Testament. Isaiah 66. God, everyone's going to say it. We just have to hear it again and again so it sinks in, because it isn't in our nature to understand such profound simplicity. It isn't in our nature to do that. God is wonderfully simple. And he's God. And wow. And we just read it in Psalm 139, didn't you? We are fearfully and what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. We are. We are one unique critter, aren't you? You are. No offense. You're each unique critters. I got to tell you, you have systems going for all 12 of them, whatever they are. They're all busy, busy, busy doing what they do. You don't even know they're doing it. Unless you feel it, you know, you start feeling. When your liver says something, then you know, or your appendix or something. But you don't feel it. It's just wonderfully, wonderfully working. God, you are wonderful, wonderfully, wonderfully God. You made a body, human body, wonderfully, wonderfully awesome. Wow. Now, in the light of that, Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Where are you going to go? They all understood. But you won't hear people talk like that. Believers don't understand like that. And we need to. Let me keep going. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Back and forth. Just God over and over again. We want to catch the flavor of it. Acts chapter 17. If I may, in verse 27, for they, that they should, these people, I'll read verse 26 for a little better context, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, all the different nations scattered all over the world, Genesis 10, etc., purpose that, verse 27, they should seek the Lord, the reason God scattered them, to give them opportunity to come to God, seek God, to know God. If haply, if then, indeed, haply, they might feel to grope after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets, this is the men of Athens, Greece, our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Inasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, the deity, God in his wonderful person and makeup, essence, is like unto gold or silver or stones or graven by art or man's devices. We don't want to make God the Ten Commandments. We don't want to go. God said, don't have anything in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Nothing tangible you can see, touch, taste, smell. Don't do anything like that to make it God. I am wonderfully God and not like any of that. I made it, but I'm not like that. Now, in the light of that, so therefore, and you read in Psalm 139, David was to delight, actually, in his presence, in the presence of God. You couldn't replace his presence. You couldn't get away from his presence. Idols of wood, stone, birds, beast, sun, moon, stars, material, all those different things, you can't get away. We make all kinds of idols, and we can move away from them. We can destroy them. We can throw the idol away. We can move away. We can move the idol. We can't move God. No, no, no. We can't do that. God, we have to come to grips with who you are in a most wonderful way. Remember John said it in John 4 and 24. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, God. You are, your intensity, God, your limitness, unmeasuredness. Wow. And as you saw in the bulletin, you know, the atheist, you can read it again. Good thing. God, God is God, God. Nowhere. God is nowhere. And then you go and just divide that up like the little girl. God is now here. God is now here. God is now here. She had it right. Not God is nowhere. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. Wow. So having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and in verse 8. Now remember, in the beginning, there's no problem with God. The problem comes with time as sin hardens the heart and blinds the mind of people. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in chapter 3, Genesis verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, they hid themselves from what? The presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, from the presence of God. That means that which is visible, visible, the external side. We have the earth out there. That's the face of the earth. We don't see under the earth. We see the face of the earth. You see, the word face is the word presence, face, that which is presented, that which you see, the face. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, the face of the Lord. And thus God, the visible part, God made himself wonderfully, wonderfully known. And they were to go and enjoy that in and out. They were to enjoy it. And they, the face of God and the presence of God, they always knew the presence of God. They just knew it. They just knew it. Do you know there's things that, if your sensitivity was allowed to develop, little children have it and then they lose it because of our environment and our society. They have all kinds of instinct. And when they grow, they lose it because you don't develop it, you lose it. It'd be like if you were born in the Sahara Desert, and you were born in the Sahara Desert, I would imagine you would have a wonderful sense of hearing. Where if you were born in the subway of New York City, you wouldn't have such a good hearing. Because in the quietness, your mind, you have capabilities. And you know, a person loses their eyesight, their hearing, all kinds of different things come into play. Wonderfully so. Wow. So here we are, God looking, and Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost the wonderful sense of God, a wonderful sense. They just had it. Just had it. Didn't need it, just knew it. Just knew it. Just had a sense. Wow. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, that which is visible in the front, they would know, they could know, but do you know they didn't do that well? Or if you would, in well, before I do that, over in chapter 17, for picking a place. And remember now, sin dulled their senses and they had to hide from God. And in hiding from God, they hid from the presence of God. That's what they did. And Cain, might as well hold your finger, it's right next door, Hold your finger in chapter 17. Go back to chapter 4. And picking up, remember Cain sinned, he killed Abel. And Cain 4, Genesis 4, 13. Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth from whence I came." I can't stand in one place. The face. Here's the ground underneath your feet. I can't. That's the face of the ground. Your feet are standing on the face of the ground. Cain said, "I can't do that." No, I can't. And remember verse 12, so you have a context. "When thou killest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield fruit unto her strength, unto thee for her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." And Cain said, "I'm not going to be able to stand anywhere." And, verse 14, "From thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." So, my face, the word face, to be presence, your presence, God, here I am, Cain said, "and I have nowhere to run. Where am I going to run from you? Where am I going to hide? Everyone's going to see me. Where do I run? Where do I run from your presence? I can't. There's no place to hide." So what he did is, he rolled up his sleeves in rebellion and built a city. Wow. Now, over to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, remember Abraham, God blessed Abraham in a most wonderful way. And Abraham moved with God. God spoke and he moved. Verse 1, chapter 17, Genesis. "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, 'I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.'" I want you, the word "before," in my presence, at my face. The word "before," in front of me. Faced, you have the phrase with Moses. I talked to Moses face to face. My presence in the light of his presence. Now, Abraham, "I am God Almighty, and show yourself living in my presence before me, before mine eyes, in my presence." God wanted him to walk before him, and he would to walk always. Abraham, everywhere you go, Abraham, you're going to walk in my presence. That's right. You'll never be out of my presence. You can't be. Everything is in the presence of God. Not, N-O-T, God is in the presence of things. Not, God is in the presence of things. Not that. Everything is in the presence of God. Difference. Everything is in the presence of God. Now, so God, Moses, what are you going to do, Abram? You're going to walk, and how are you going to live? In my presence. The Israelites in John 5, they forgot that. They missed that. And you remember in Exodus, you aren't far away to go there again. Exodus chapter 33, here's a little word just to point it out. Exodus 33. And in verse 11, Exodus 33, 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face," there's your word you're looking at, presence, in the presence of, before, and thus in the process, what did you want, Moses? Moses said, "I don't want to go without you." Now, how are you going to say that to God? How do you say that to the invisible God? How do you say that to the God who never moves, never moves, never needs to move. Wow. How do you say that to him? Well, in verse 14, he said, "My presence," God said, "shall go with thee." My presence, my face, my presence. And Moses said, verse 15, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." I don't want to go without you, but you can't go. You can't go without me. I'm always going to be with you, Moses. Every way you go, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to you're going to trust me with all your heart, and you're going to go. Now, here's this, remember this, easy way to remember, God's omniscience, all omniscience, all-knowing, and the light of his all-knowing, his omnipresence, God is always present. And this little thing that was done, well done, to say it, I'll read it to you. You have to think about it, but it does the job. God is above all things. God is beneath all things. God is outside of all things. God is inside of all things. God is above, but he is not pushed up. You can't push God up, there's nowhere to go. God is beneath, but he's not pushed down. You can't push him down. God is outside, but he is not excluded. God is inside, but he is not confined. God is above all things, presiding. God is beneath all things, sustaining. God is outside of all things, embracing. God is inside of all things, filling. God, you're everywhere all at once. But I'm not part of it. I'm not part of it. Wow. Wow. But you know what? I have made you humans. I am not in the tree. I am not in the bird. I am not in the butterfly. But I am able to be in you. The glass is in the water. Water is in the glass. Water is in the glass. And I sick the glass down in the midst of the Pacific Ocean, big one, and down it goes. And the glass is in the middle of the water. The water is in the glass. God, you have made it possible to be in a human being. Wow. Now, over if you would please. Oh, you're in Exodus, why not? Over to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. And you will note, Exodus 35, going, if I may, in verse 13, speaking of the articles of furniture in the tabernacle. Verse 13, the table, the staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the word show, face, the face, bread of faces, 12 loaves, one for each tribe. You see the bread, you see the presence of the 12 tribes of Israel. Where are the 12 tribes of Israel? They're in the tabernacle. What are all the Israelites? Three tribes in each side camped all around when they were camped. What did they know? In that tent, in the presence of that tent, and the Shekinah glory, cloud by day, the fire by night, reminded them of God's wonderful presence. And they would be reminded, the priest, the showbread, every day, all day, here's the bread, the face. Israel sees God face to face. God sees Israel face to face. Israel is in the presence of God. He gave them an illustration. Wow. God has gone in the person of Jesus Christ and made it so that when we receive Him as our Savior, God is able to find Himself in your heart. And you are able to find yourself in His heart in Christ. Wow. And God doesn't have to move. God's right now here. And I want to learn what Israel forgot. I don't want to lose your wonderful person, God. I don't want to lose that. Over to Psalm 16. Remember the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the bread. Psalm 16. And in the process, looking if we may, in Psalm 16, may I go to the very end? David, would you help us? Psalm 16, 11. Thou, God, Thou wilt show me the path of life. How am I going to see the path of life? In Thy presence, in the face, presence, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. God, if I go down, I have a wonderful, awesome sense of Your presence. And I know it. I know it. Wow. God, would You help us to develop that? We sort of lost it in our worldliness, in our materialness, in our indifference, in our laziness. We lost it, God. The wonderful sensitivity of Your person. Wow. Now, chapter 17, again, David, the end, verse 15. As for me, I will behold Thy face, the word presence, in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. God, I'm looking to You, looking to You. I'm not looking to any idol. I understand. Thou shalt have no other gods. Nothing in heaven, earth, nothing man-made, anything. God, You are the invisible, unique, awesome, infinite God. And God, we're going to look to You. And in doing so, we're going to have confidence. We're going to be able, in the midst of crisis, conflict, to be able to know, like Elijah and the rest of them, going to know, we stand before You, God. We're always in Your presence, always in Your presence. And we can't escape Your presence. Wonderfully, wonderfully true. And in the process, God, as we just shared the stable of showbread, You told David, again elsewhere, that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou preparest the table before me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me. Preparest it before me in my face. So God, here I am going down the corridor of time. And there You are in front of me. And I have a unique sense of You. You put in front of me all that I need. And I'm just to trust You. The enemy is all around. Darkness and doubt and danger, indifference. It's all there. But You're there. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Makes a difference. Do you remember that little illustration we've used sometime? Remember the little painting in the painting out there, and the artist painted the painting, and it's a big wooded area, and in the wooded area is a little house in the middle of the woods, and it's a very dreary looking thing, looking at it, and you don't even sense the house, but you know. Then he took his little brush, didn't he, and put a little dab of yellow in the window. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, that little house, I couldn't even see it, hardly. It popped right out. It stood out in the darkness. Gone. That's right. I'm going to go and help you understand. There is no darkness to me. There is to you. I am light. And I do not have any darkness whatsoever. So when you in the darkness don't see, I always see. I always know. So when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're there. I see. You don't see, but I do. I'll keep your feet from stumbling. If you fall, I will pick you up. You could. But be of good cheer. If you fall down, I'm right there. You don't see, but I do now. So God, here we are looking at, and I don't want to lose the sense of your wonderful presence. And I might you do that because Isaiah 59, because I can lose that presence, and that Israel did that. Israel lost your wonderful sense of who you are. And in, if I may, picking up please, Isaiah 59, you're answering the question, why do we lose his presence? Why did Israel lose his presence? Isaiah 59 verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's quite able to save, and God does hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your iniquities have come between the great storm. And where did all that come from? When you start doubting, and doubt leads to all kinds of things, and you don't understand, and you're locked into only what you can see, touch, taste, and smell, and hear, as such, we lose. We just lose, God. We don't want to lose, but we do. Wow. Now, back over, if you would, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 again. We're sort of wandering, but hope that you just pick up a sense of God's wonderful presence. And that's what they lost. And God will tell you over and over, I am right near you, when he says to be saved. I'm right next to you, right here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm right here. He tells you, I'm right here. He doesn't say, I'm out there. I'm here. I'm right here. So how far do we got to go to get to your God? Not far at all. I just need to take... Just need to get my heart right. Just need to open my heart. That's what he said. Behold, I stand at the door and what? And knock and open. If any man open the door, what? How close do you have to be to knock on the door? You have to be at the door. You have to be at the door to get in, if you ask me. I'm right next to you, he said. But I don't see you. God said, you couldn't see me. You couldn't. You couldn't. That's why I sent my son, so that you could. Wow. Now, Psalm 31. God, your wonderful personal presence. Psalm 31 and verse 20. Picking up verse 19 even. 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them, where? In the secret of thy presence. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to hide? Hide. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hide. You're going to hide me. I am. But I'm in the middle. Everyone can see. Ah. They don't understand my presence. And when I hide you in my presence, that's an awesome thing. Remember, the devil said that about Job, among other things. You put a hedge around him. I can't get at him. In the millennium, you know, in Isaiah 26. Do you know what's going to put about Jerusalem to protect it? I'll put the walls of salvation around. How are you going to protect the city? I'm just going to be there. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, who's what? You're going to guard our mind from all of it coming in and out? Uh-huh. As you look to me and trust me, I will take care of all the volatile waves that come pouring in and all kinds of ways. And when they get to you, they have to go through me. And you're looking to me, and all of those bumpy waters still. You don't have to worry. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God, how did you help? I'm just wondering. How did you help Abraham? He only had 318, was it, men that he trained? His servants. They took care of the cows and the camels and the military. Wow. And how'd you help him? The enemy's on. And Abraham is one Bill Gates. He's got a lot of money. He got money. He got cattle. Out as far as you can see. But I never hear about him being robbed. I never hear of Abraham. If I was what do you call the cowboys that, hoodlums that go and rob cows? Yeah, whatever they are, rustlers, yeah. Anyway, God protected him. And there's nothing that he does. You'd have to learn that. I want to learn that. I want to learn that more. God, I hide them in my presence. Here's all the germs, all the problems in all the world floating around, and here they're coming at us and more or less inside out. And God, you're going to do what if I let you? I will keep you in perfect peace. I will hide you, verse 20, in the secret of my presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God, you're able to go just in your presence so that I don't worry, I don't wander, and I don't want God. Wow. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I hope you got a little bit just sort of wandered. Psalm 27. It's a big subject. That's an understatement. Big subject to handle it. I have to tell you. I sense it. I got it, but I don't know how to say it to you. I don't know how to say it to you. I don't know how to tell you. I just, wow, you know. Psalm 27, David again, would you help us? In verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Though an host, verse 3, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Look, what is that? One thing have I desired of the Lord, is to win the war. No, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. God, I just want to be able to enjoy your wonderful, wonderful person. And I'm able to do that because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, for in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Very clear, very obvious on top of the rock, but you can't touch me on top of the rock. And verse down to verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, there's the word presence. My heart said unto thee, thy face, thy presence will I seek. God said, seek my presence, and thy presence I sought. I didn't want to some touching. I don't want to touch because what kind of God would that be? No, God, you are untouchable that way. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When father and mother forsake me, verse 10, when father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. God, would you help me to remember, Lord, that nothing is going to happen today. There's nothing going to happen anywhere, God, that you and I can't handle together. God, there's nothing going to happen this afternoon with a boy, children, coming, going, work, home, school, all the bad news and good news from a human standpoint. Here we are. But God, together. There's nothing we can't handle, God. Your grace is sufficient enough. Your very presence is sufficient. If I lose your presence, the words that you have given in thy word have no power. And the truths that I try to understand, they're understandable when I understand you. And then I read and then look back up and there you are. And I look back down and read and there you are again, God. I can't get away. Your word reminds me of your presence. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much, God. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God, here we are, God, in your presence. Israel forgot. They lost touch with you. Our Father in God, thank you very, very much for who you are. God, what can I say? Honor yourself. Deal with the heart of each boy, girl, man, and woman. And we think of all the dear people across the face of the earth and look to you that you would deal with them as us. And that many would thankfully, thoughtfully come and honor you. And will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you might like to sing in closing, if you would, 524. 524.